So, Hillbilly Elegy. The J.D. Vance story is getting a new round of attention due to the recent release of the Ron Howard film adaptation. In this hour, we have a couple of takes on this. First, an essay in The Atlantic by Kentuckian Cassie Chambers Armstrong. She talked with Tom Eblin about the essay and her own book about life in the region.
J.D. Vance's book, Hillbilly Elegy, which has been made into a movie, has generated a lot of controversy in Appalachia. It has prompted others to write their own memoirs of growing up poor in Appalachian families and draw very different conclusions about the region's problems and solutions. One memoir that has received a lot of praise is Hill Women by Cassie Chambers Armstrong. Armstrong grew up in Berea, but she spent a lot of time as a child with relatives in Owsley County who found ways to draw strength from their disadvantages. Armstrong writes about the strong women in her family who helped inspire her to pursue higher education at Yale College, the London School of Economics, and Harvard Law School. Armstrong returned to Kentucky to give legal assistance to poor Kentuckians suffering domestic violence and a court system that has often been stacked against them. Armstrong is now a lawyer, law professor, wife, mother, former vice chair of the Kentucky Democratic Party, and recently was elected to Louisville's Metro Council. She's with us today to talk about Hill Women. Cassie Chambers Armstrong, welcome to Eastern Standard.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, great. Well, what prompted you to write this book, and what do you want readers to learn from it?
You know, I don't think I ever realized that I had a story worth telling until 2016, whenever really Hillbilly Elegy and other portrayals of Appalachia started getting so much attention in the national media. The portrayals that I was seeing out there, they didn't really resonate with my experience growing up. And so I wrote Hill Women largely to respond to that and sort of try to put out a more positive, hopeful representation of Appalachia, because that had been my experience growing up there. And what I think a lot of people in my family and in my immediate community thought the world needed to see from Appalachia.
Well, how would you contrast your book with Hillbilly Elegy?
You know, I think Hillbilly Elegy is one person's story, and I always think it's a good thing for individuals to tell their story. But where I really begin to take issue with it is when J.D. Vance begins to talk about moral failings of individuals and sort of talk about this bootstraps type of narrative as Appalachia is a place that is sort of dirty and broken and poor, and this thing that he has sort of risen above. And in my experience, you know, there certainly is poverty in Appalachia. There certainly are problems. But a lot of the problems stem from failings of systems, not individuals. And even though there's a lot of challenges and a lot of things that we need to work on, there's still a lot of hope there. And I think that too often we don't take time to sort of see the hope that exists in these struggling communities.
Well, what are some of the things that you think he got wrong about the region?
You know, I think in general, his focus on just sort of the negative feeds into this idea that Appalachia is a place that's either not worth saving because the problems are so deeply entrenched, and it sort of gives people outside of Appalachia an excuse to write the region off and sort of say, you know what, I don't understand people in Appalachia. A lot of times it becomes political. You know, I don't understand why they voted for Donald Trump. I don't understand why these deep-seated problems haven't been fixed. And so I'm just, you know, I'm not going to care about their problems. I'm not going to try to understand. I'm not going to try to engage. Or if they do decide that they want to get involved and help, they tend to think that, oh, this is a place that needs saving. This is a place that I, as an outsider, need to come into, and I need to make it better. And, you know, surely this community couldn't address its problems without me. And I really believe that, you know, Appalachians, they are creative, they're resourceful, they're hardworking. There are some of the smartest people I know living in the mountains. And if we could find a way to just support those local leaders and give those communities the resources that they need, they're perfectly capable of solving their own problems. And I think the way J.D. Vance shapes his narrative sort of precludes that as an option.
Well, since returning to Kentucky, you've gotten involved in politics. And what are some examples of how you think that government should be doing a better job of helping people in Appalachia improve their communities and lives?
Yeah, I think in general, focusing on really those kitchen table issues, I've spent a lot of time sort of traveling to rural communities trying to help rebuild the Democratic Party there, because historically, Eastern Kentucky has such a strong tradition of labor and a strong tradition of workers' rights and strong economic programs. And we've seen in sort of recent decades that that has slipped away. And so I've spent a lot of time going to Appalachian communities and sort of saying, you know, what is it that your community needs and what are you not feeling like you're getting from us? And a lot of times, you know, it's people feeling like for years and years and years, politicians of both parties have made promises and have said they'll make things better. And they feel when they look at the rest of the world, like their community isn't making progress. In fact, they feel like they're sort of backsliding by comparison. And so I think that was the real appeal of Donald Trump, was this idea of someone who would just burn down the entire system because they felt like neither party was really serving their interests. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see how the politics of Appalachia change in sort of the post-Trump era, and how sort of a Democratic Party that speaks to those kitchen table issues in Appalachia might resonate differently than it has in recent years.
Well, at its heart, your book is really a personal story, and I'm curious what you learned in the process of writing it.
You know, I think one thing I learned is just how sort of fallible memory is. It's a memoir, and in some ways, I thought writing a memoir would be easy. It's not like a research paper. You don't have to go out and sort of look into footnotes and sources and all of that. And my approach was really, let's sit down with my family and talk about how they remember things and what they think is important to explain our family's journey and progress and all of that. And in the process, I just realized how totally differently we remember things, you know. I would swear Granny's wedding dress was brown. Someone else is like, no, it was blue. No, it was absolutely green. And it's just amazing sort of how people who all sort of heard the same stories, experienced the same events, remember everything differently. And it's a nice reminder that we all have our own truth in the world and we all have our own story.
Well, of the various people you write about, tell us a little about a couple of them because they're very vivid characters.
So the book traces three generations of women in my family. It starts with my granny, who, you know, had a third grade education, grew up in a large family, never really had a childhood because she grew up in an era where children started working as soon as they were old enough to do so. And even though she didn't get to get an education, she was only able to go to school through third grade. She really wanted to have a child that graduated high school and went to college. And so, you know, some other characters in the book are those children. My Aunt Ruth, who was the firstborn girl in the family, sort of really wanted to graduate high school, but also wasn't able to because of family circumstances, having to help out on the farm, some health issues. But she was sort of the best tobacco worker in all of Owsley County and became this real, like, strong person that sort of held the family together and encouraged my mom, who was another of Granny's children, the sort of second girl born in the family and one of the younger kids, to be able to pursue her education. And because of that, my mom was able to become the first in her family to graduate high school and go on to college, largely because she had these two other women in her life who were really pushing her to go forward and get an education and sort of saying, we didn't have the opportunities, but we are going to work to make sure you do, and you better take advantage of them.
Well, one opportunity you have coming up is you were recently elected to the Louisville Metro Council. And the experience of writing this book and the experience of your family in Eastern Kentucky, how do you think that will change how you do your job as a council member?
You know, I really believe in the power of government to change lives, in part because I did grow up sort of in a family that didn't have a lot of resources. And I benefited from a lot of government programs, healthcare programs, you know, programs like SNAP and all of that. And I think it made me realize, like, government, it really can and should be a force for good. And it's also something that I've seen in sort of the generations of my family. And I think local government is really the level of government that's closest to the people. It's sort of the one where you're actually out helping people one-on-one with the things that really make their day good or bad. You know, is their sidewalk fixed? Do they feel like they can navigate their city safely? Do they feel like they know their neighbors and that there's a sense of community? And I really believe that government at its best sort of starts at the local level and builds up. And so I'm really excited to be able to try to foster a sense of community here locally in Louisville, because I truly believe that the community I had growing up is the reason that I was able to have the opportunities that I did.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And the book again is Hill Women by Cassie Chambers Armstrong. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Tom Eblin interviews on Eastern Standard are provided in partnership with the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning.